Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 11th of August. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear and then show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out the river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy. We talk to Brian Young about fishing Lake Moraitai. Our freshwater reporters check in. And as always, we'll finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Let's look at some fly fishing news. The next new moon is on the 22nd of this month. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does it mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. Start planning your trip away now. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite. Full moon, fisherman's folly. The AGM of the Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club will be held on Monday night, the 14th. All members are encouraged to attend the club rooms at the Panmure Yacht and Boating Club, Kings Road, Panmure. Now, there's going to be a guest speaker on the night as well, and that will be Nigel Dewey. Nigel's an excellent speaker. Good fisherman, and he'll be talking about all things trout. 7:30 sharp, you have to be there, get your beers in and get ready. 7:30 Monday night, Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club, see you there. If you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events or fishing reports or any content at all, just contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show by emailing me Colin on col.pamatextra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Let's look at some weather with Met Service. The Auckland Marine Forecast, the situation. A complex low moves over New Zealand, followed by a series of troughs embedded in a westerly flow. The forecast for Manukau and Waitemata harbours, Saturday. Becoming northwest 20 knots everywhere in the morning, easing to westerly 15 knots in the evening. A period of rain from late morning. Manukau and Waitemata harbours, Sunday. Northwest 15 knots, fine spells, one or two showers. If you're fishing in the Waikato region, the forecast for Saturday. Occasional rain developing in the morning, persistent for a time during the afternoon, then clearing from evening, westerlies. Waikato on Sunday, occasional showers, northwesterlies. Rotorua anglers, forecast for Saturday, scattered rain developing during the morning, persistent for a time in the afternoon, then clearing in the evening, westerlies. If you're fishing in Rotorua on Sunday, cloudy periods, westerlies. Taupo's going gangbusters at the moment. The forecast for Saturday in Taupo, occasional rain developing in the morning, persistent for a time in the afternoon, then clearing in the evening, westerlies. Taupo on Sunday, cloudy periods with a few showers, westerlies. Now, if you're up and over the hill in Taumarunui, Saturday, occasional rain developing early, persistent for a time from late morning, then easing to patchy drizzle in the evening, northwesterlies. Taumarunui on Sunday, a few showers turning to rain, northwesterlies. For our South Island anglers, Canterbury Plains region, Saturday, fine with high cloud at times, particularly evening. Northwesterlies developing in the morning, tending northerly in the evening. Canterbury Plains on Sunday, fine with high cloud at times, rain developing in the south later. Northerlies changing southeasterly in the south later. Thanks to Met Service for those reports, we do appreciate that. Now, let's look at some river levels. The Puniu River is currently at 12.2 metres and rising. It's flowing at 75 cumex. That's well up on last week. Too fast to fish. Mangatutu's closed. Don't go there. The Ohanamuri River, measured at Karangaheke Gorge between Pairoa and Waihi, is at 12.4 metres and rising. It's flowing at 16 cumex and rising. Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 1.38 metres. That's well up on last week. You recall last Friday it was 0.3. It's now 1.38 metres. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 76.6 metres and rising. However, it's flowing at 40 cumex and rising. Too fast to fish. Whakapapa's closed, remember that. The Whanganui, measured at Puriaka, is at 76 cubic metres per second. That's well up on last week. Now, the Tongariro, measured at Turangi, is at 31 cumex. Now, that's down from a high of 260 cumex earlier in the week. Enjoy the fishing, but you have to be very careful when wading. Now, thanks to Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy for their information. Excellent websites, updated continuously. Well done. Okay, now we're going to have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports. Fly fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident. He's an even longer-time Rotorua angler, and I can tell you he's an expert angler. And Bert, as always, is live on here with us now. Good evening, Bert.
Hey, Colin.
How you well?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. End of a working week, which is great.
Okay. Has it started to warm up yet?
Not really. Okay. It was warm while it rained, mostly northerly. So, you know, a bit of warm air from the tropics loaded with water.
Yes.
But, yeah, wind's turned around to the south now, and it's not, the temperature's dropping pretty quick. So there's still quite a bit of cloud around, and the wind is picking up a wee bit, so we could get some cold rain from Antarctica somewhere.
Oh, gosh. Your forecast for rain tomorrow, showers on Sunday, scattered rain Monday, Tuesday, and even into Wednesday. So, yeah, a lot of water about.
Yeah. No, here, front just hitting the South Island from the south, so it's a southerly, so they're going to get a bit of snow and a sleet and hail and wind and cold, and we're going to cop it eventually too, I guess.
Okay, your water table's still very high, I presume?
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
We've got springs coming up where there haven't been springs for years or not in living memory. You know, the aquifers are chock full, and the water goes down. It's got to come out somewhere. It's been that bad around here that a lot of the damage done from the last few storms, it has not actually been repaired yet, particularly on some of the smaller roads around the district. Up the Ngāi Tahā stream, the road going up there is not... has not been repaired since the last big washout, and it's just been too wet.
Is it?
But we're in for a warmish wet spring too, so it's not looking good for stream fishing in particular. But there's times when the river does clear enough to fish, and surprising just how fishable a river can be. It's just based on our perceptions, I guess. We're used to crystal clear, pristine water, then a bit of sediment in the water, it kind of takes a shine off things for some people. But there's been plenty of fish moving up into the streams, Waitati and the Utahina, and surprisingly there's been a few fish coming in. And since I spoke to you last, I went down to the control gates at Akiri Falls on a Saturday, and I landed one nice fish and picked a couple of others. But I went down on a Sunday, and it was all on because it had been bucketed down late Saturday afternoon and into Sunday morning. And we just had showers throughout the day. But I dropped five very large, good condition fish. The gates are open too, which didn't help, and so there's a huge amount of water going through. And I dropped five, I landed three, and I kept two. The biggest was about 3¾ kilos.
That's good fish.
So, yeah, they were good fish. And the interesting thing is that they are coming in, but they're not staying. Okay. They're coming in, doing their business, and they're gone again. They're not hanging around. And the same thing's happening. If you happen to be at the right place at the right time on the liberation points, you can do very well, but... Man, you know, you've got to be down there every night for them to come in, and you might get five or six nights with nothing, and then all of a sudden you'll get to, you think you died and gone to heaven with so many fish coming in.
Are you talking particularly down at Lake Tarawera?
Lake Tarawera's been quite good, but you've still got fish coming out at Ruato, Hauparu, along the dump. There's fish at the pipe. Has been very slow for some time, but they have an occasional blip. With fish coming in, Okatine is another one that's produced a few fish to the one or two lonely anglers who are there. Even the smaller lakes, so Caro and Okaraka have been doing quite well. And the standout, as usual, is Ruafokaere. That's the one that tends to have spawning fish late into the year, and there's still fish coming in there too.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing about last weekend too is that all the fish that I got, that I landed, or that I ended up releasing, were hatchery fish. There was not a wild fish amongst them.
Okay.
So we've got a late run of hatchery fish in, I think.
Okay. Now, the big question, what was your setup that you used to hook these fish, and what flies did you use?
Well, I just used the good old woolly bugger. Now, I started one with an orange beadhead, tungsten beadhead, brown woolly bugger, and did okay on that, but I swapped over to a camo-bodied woolly bugger, and that really did the damage, and they were hitting that pretty hard. But I've developed a little thing, and I spoke to the Tauranga anglers about it, and it's a shooting head. It runs on braided backing. And all it is, on my 7-weight CD down under, I run 12 to 13 metres of LED harling line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just pushed inside the braid, bound off. And I don't worry about fancy loops when I'm doing wet fly fishing. I go to a knot on the end and just form a loop, tie the knot in the nylon, slide it down to the knot, and that's it. She's all go.
Okay.
It's quick and easy to make, quick and easy to lose, like any other line. But you can replace it very quickly as well. So, and it works a dream. I'm casting 32, 33 metres with ease.
Okay.
It's a very, very good setup.
Because you've got so much weight in the actual line at the end, yeah.
Yeah, the thing is you've got to be careful you don't overload your rods. Now, you know, if you're using a sinking line, you want to be under the rated weight of the rod, I recommend. And if you're using a floating line, you want to be a weight above the recommended line.
Yes, I understand, yeah. And that gets you across and down quick?
Yep, sure does. And yeah, when the water, when you're fishing rivers like, even the Nongatahā, you got short pools, very deep, fast water over the top. You've got to get down quick. The Kaituna is basically a mini Tongariro, and it's got heaps of water coming through, and it is relatively deep and very turbulent, and that's the thing that gets your line, drags your line up. The other thing when using a sinking line too is to only have about a metre trace of that, because nylon's very buoyant and you get an upwelling of the water and it'll just pop your fly up. Your line may stay down, but if you've got a full length of, like a rod length of nylon, that fly can end up well up in the water table, not even close to the bottom, which is where you need to be. And the main reason for that is that if you have a look at how water flows, it's slow on the edges and looks fast in the middle, but right on the bottom there's so much resistance from rocks and holes and different things like that. So the water slows down with the friction, and so you've got this area that's nowhere near as fast as the midwater. So you can basically divide your river into a square or a rectangle, depending on the width of it, and you'll find that probably the bottom 12 inches to 2 feet sometimes, depending on the depth of water and the speed of it, can be a lot slower going than the water above that.
Yeah, I understand. Yes, the friction on the bottom. So that's why you've got your trace, if you like, your tippet material, very short. You don't want it floating mid-current.
No, you don't. Yeah, and there's a fish. The fish will come up for it every now and again, and you'll get one that's sort of changing from feeding top water to going back down and bottom again, pick it up on the way down. But if you really want to get into your fish, you've got to be down where the fish are. You've got to be able to stay down where the fish are. And, shortening your trace is one way of doing it, and the type of line that you use is another. Now, the other thing, too, I did notice, and it was really came to into the picture on the weekend, was that with the difference in flow, the fish weren't where they normally were. That area can be quite heavily trafficked by kayakers and canoeists and rafters. Well, there were none on the river. So the fish, instead of being driven up into the more turbulent water, would way downstream, right where the rafters and quakers sort of head off down into the first set of rapids, and it had to get right down to them. So it was trial and error, just casting a bit extra line out here and there, and then feeding a bit more line out just to see where the fish were. And that's where they were, quite a significant way downstream on that particular pool. And it's been pretty much the same all the way down the Kaituna to the top of the last set of falls. Okay. There's some very big fish in there, and it's not many anglers fishing it, and some very deep pools and some quite fast water in places, so it's worth a look anyway.
Well, good tip. Now, what type of retrieve, Bert? Is it a figure eight retrieve, very slow?
What I do, if I'm fishing off the control gates, it's a slightly off to... No, it doesn't matter. You cast straight down the current, and then slowly I retrieve, say, 10 or 15, let it hold it for a bit, then 10 or 15 and hold it for a bit, work my way up. But if I'm casting across, I'll actually cast across and add a bit of line straight away so that it takes the tension off it. That allows it to, stops the current from grabbing it and holding it up while it's trying to drop.
Yeah, I understand.
So you just flick a bit of extra line out and let that thing sink as far as you can. And then as the tension comes on, all I do, basically I'm doing a slow figure of eight, but I'm twitching that rod tip probably 2 feet in the air.
Ah, okay.
On the drift.
Okay.
And you'll be surprised how many times when you're coming up, when you're giving it that flick, and it actually brings the fly up, and then, of course, when you go down again, the tension's off it, so the fly flutters. So you're flicking that thing across the water, and it speeds up, slows down, speeds up, slows down. And as it slows down, it drops.
Yes, I get you, yes.
And normally you come up to do your next lift on the rod tip, and there's something quite heavy on the end of it usually, and quite feisty.
Around about 3.2 kilos.
But yeah, that figure of eight, you're just casting across, you let it sink a bit, add a bit of slack line to it so it does help it sink, particularly if it's deeper water. And then once the current comes on it, you can drift it, but you have a tendency then for it to keep dropping. So if you're twitching that rod tip vertically, just a couple of feet, or even, 30 centimetres to 30 to 50 centimetres.
Yes.
Just giving it that flick as it comes across, and it's like flick, 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 and it just makes that fly dance through the water and flutters and races and does all sorts of things, and it's like it's either feeding or wounded. And when the fish are on, you know, coming into spawn, they are really, really aggressive, and they just can't leave that type of retrieve alone. And it doesn't really matter what fly you got on. If you can get them aggressive enough, and they'll snap at it.
Okay. So you're just putting a bit of action into the fly.
Absolutely,
yeah,
yep.
Okay. Make yep. it, yeah, imitate a wounded bait fish or something. Yeah, I get you. Good. Well, excellent work. Thank you for that, Bert. Now, as I said, you've got rain coming through to Tuesday. Please keep dry and enjoy the fishing, and give us your contact details, please.
Right, I'm on 0272896079. You can give us a call or text or whatever. Yep. A couple of calls during the week, which is quite good. I want to help some people out. So, do that, and I'll fill in on whatever details I happen to have at the moment.
All right, that's Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fishing, 0272896079. I talked to an American angler during the week, Monday last week, this week, and I gave him your number, I hope you don't mind, about fishing Rotorua. He was new to the country and didn't know where to go, and I said, ring this fella here and just ask questions. We do appreciate it, Bert. It's fantastic. Thank you for that. Enjoy the fishing. Talk to you next week.
Okay. See you later.
Thank you, Bert. It's Bert Robinson, 0272896079. Ask him any question you like about fishing Rotorua. He loves it. Thank you, Bert. Quick break, more fishing stuff.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've
been... You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Stella Gordon is a long-time resident of the Taupo Turang area. She's an expert on fishing the rivers and lakes of the Central Plateau. We talk to Stella every Friday night, and we do it live on air, so we get the latest information. And once again, Stella's there with us. Good evening, Stella.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
A lot warmer. Oh. It's actually been a very pleasant day today, actually, with some sunshine and fresh air and no rain. It's been gorgeous.
Okay, but the forecast is not good from Saturday afternoon onwards.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Yep, tomorrow afternoon you're going to have lots of rain Sunday, Monday, and easing Tuesday night.
You know, I think we're actually over it. Really. I mean,
yeah,
honestly, I mean, we love the rain for our rivers, but really, I think we've had enough.
I think the whole of New Zealand is soaked.
It is. It is unusual to be so wet underfoot, especially where we've got pumice, but it has been fantastic for the fishing, but certainly it is nice to have some sunshine, which means you can actually get out there and do something.
That's right. Now, I've been talking to anglers during the week, and people ringing me, they say that Hanimaiai and Tongariro, TT, your local river, it's all still going mad.
It's been fantastic, really.
It's been good.
We've had a lot of rain, so, you know, that was sort of Tuesday, Wednesday. Tremendous amount of rain, extremely heavy in a very short period of time. And so, naturally, as a result of that, all the rivers have been up, and up considerably. I mean, we're almost 2 metres on the TT. But the lake has been, over the last couple of weeks, slowly, which is good. There's a little bit of water that's eked out, which has meant that most of this water has actually drained quite quickly because the lake level's a little bit lower. So that's been good for the anglers, and those fish have not been slow in moving in. So no, it's been very consistent. There are certainly there's still a lot of water. There's no doubt about that, and there's certainly some anglers that are struggling, and that's to be expected, and but there's others that are reading the water and doing well.
Okay. We saw the Tongariro got up to about 260 cumics on...
It did.
I think, was it Wednesday morning or so, Tuesday
morning?
Yes, it did.
That's
a lot of
water. We had just an incredible amount of rain through the Waipakihi catchment, which obviously feeds the Tongariro, and likewise through the Kaimato catchment as well. And you know, just generally, central has had these very stationary fronts, which tend to bring lots of heavy moisture. And as a result of that, they tend to stay for a period of time without any wind. We've had very little wind, and so we get the rain. But it is winter, and it's all part and parcel of it. And we did expect to have a wet winter, and let's hope that we have, a fantastic spring and summer, because we really do deserve it.
That's right. Now, what flies are working?
Generally speaking, through the week, with that heavy water, anglers were off the water, but after the water having cleared slightly and dropped away, there's certainly those that are out wet lining. And most of those guys that are wet lining are using olive woolly buggers, red setters, in similar patterns. For those that are nymphing, generally when you've got a little bit of colour in the rivers and a little bit of extra volume, slightly larger glow bugs, so anything that's bright in a glow bug. And as those rivers drop away again, just, dropping your size down, or depending on the actual movement, the actual amount of water that you're physically fishing to, probably determines the size as well.
Okay, yeah. And still lots of anglers around?
Tremendous. Yeah. Unbelievable. In fact, they are stacked up basically one side by side at the moment.
But it's good the fishery's back.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. It is amazing, really, when you think about it. I mean, there are... when I think about over the last two or three years, we've certainly had good numbers of anglers, but I think probably to some degree the fact that they've increased the bag limit, that's probably encouraged a greater number of anglers that perhaps wouldn't have fished in the fishery before. So therefore, and they tend to spend quite concentrated periods in a fishery as such, and that's what happened in those days when we had, very productive fishing. And also the fact is that... the mountain has been a little bit inclement over the last, five to six weeks. So therefore, you've got families that maybe would normally ski, and so they are here, on holiday. So the guys will fish, and some of the girls fish as well. So, generally speaking, there has been a significant amount of pressure. But in saying that, as you said before, all the rivers are fishing, and so as a result of that, there has been plenty of water for everyone to fish. Okay. There's certainly some patches that get a lot of pressure, and anglers don't tend to move through, which is a little disappointing. But generally speaking, most people are very affable and very considerate, and because there are just so many fish, people are not fishing perhaps, the full day. They may fish 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours at the max, and then tend to spend time doing other activities, which is good.
Yeah, it is
so
good.
It's there for everybody.
Now, what have you heard about the Hini Mai Aia?
So Hini Mai Aia over the last couple of days has had quite a significant slip up by the cliff, I believe. Okay. Which had quite a bit of debris that came through the river with that heavy water on Wednesday and Thursday. That river, though, has cleared, has dropped away a little. It's still got quite a significant amount of volume, as to be expected, like every river has at present, but has fished so consistently.
Okay.
It's been amazing. It really has been amazing.
Okay, now someone mentioned midweek they drove past the TT. No, they were fishing the TT at the car park, and I think they said 15 or 16 cars in the car park.
I would think so.
Midweek.
I mean, that's been fairly general for some time now. If you were there over the weekend, this last past weekend, not this weekend, the weekend before, obviously, there were cars right out to the main road, basically. So it's been a very long time since we've seen, fishing like that. So, but, I always tend to think, too, that one car has one fisherman. So, but really, in reality, to think that there's that many fishing on a regular basis, it's very indicative of the fact that the conditions are great and that the fishing is good, and the fish, the condition and size of fish are productive too. And, every single person you speak to, it's not someone who, is particularly familiar and has done a lot of fishing. It has generally been anglers that haven't perhaps been in the fishery for some time who are returning, who, sometimes you find it a little difficult to get your hands on, or, your handle on what's actually happening. But generally speaking, most anglers are getting good numbers of fish. So, it's very positive.
It's all good, yeah. Okay, now, you've got rain right through till Tuesday, Wednesday. but it is getting a bit warmer. So you're up to 13.
It's significantly warmer today. It really has been the last couple of days have been significantly warmer. That always comes with rain, but, you know, I still think, you know, August can be a month when we get a tremendous amount of southerly and also snow. So, I mean, I won't write it off yet, but to look into the, you know, the next couple of weeks, there isn't a lot coming up from the south, so which is really most unusual. So, and of a concern for those that obviously rely on the mountain, but anything can happen, can't it?
It
I mean, it takes just two or three days of rain and then a turn to the south, and we may find that, you know, we have the complete opposite. So if we have a clearer patch, which would be nice, where it was cooler and turns to the south naturally, it always triggers movement where fish-wise. So, you know, conditions are what you call ideal.
Yeah, no, it's all going very, very well for everyone. So get out there and enjoy it yourself. You getting a chance to fish, or are you too busy in the
storm?
No,
we have been very, very busy. Generally, too, I don't fish as much as I perhaps like to during the winter months. I do tend to leave it to everyone else. But I must admit that I do fish low down in the river here, and so therefore quite often I can sneak for an hour, and Pete likewise, and you don't often see anybody, which is fantastic.
Cool. Yeah, because you're right by the banks of the Tauranga Tower.
Very much so, and I also enjoy night fishing, so I just teed up something with a friend. We'll go and have a wee flick on Sunday night, which is always a night when a little less pressure, so if the wind's in the right direction, we'll definitely go and fish the little Wairitoko stream. All those smaller streams have actually fished pretty consistently. We really have been fortunate that we haven't had a tremendous amount of wind through this winter too, so therefore, you know, the eastern lakeshore, those smaller streams have fished fairly consistently as well. Mm. With people fishing through the day and getting such good numbers, you tend to find that there's been less pressure on those river mouths or inside the river mouths, so it's good for us too.
Yeah. Well, that's good for everyone. Thank you, Stella. We do appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Now, your contact details, please.
07386 8953, and we're here 7 days, so within reason. But if you do need to have a report and you would like to know whether it's worth coming or whatever, please give us a call. We're more than happy to help, and we'll give you a very accurate... if it's not worth coming, we'd definitely tell you. So, certainly. Just give us a call.
We appreciate that. That's Stella Gordon at the store in the banks of the Tauranga Taupo River at Turangaita. Phone number 07386 8953. Talk fly fishing. They love it. Thank you, Stella. Have a good week. Enjoy the
fishing.
You
too. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Stella. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Stella Gordon, give her a ring, 07386 8953. Could save you a drive 3.5 hours from Auckland. Just ask, are the rivers clear? What's happening? Is it rain overnight? Stuff. Okay, quick break, and then we'll see if we can get hold of Brian Young. Listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Rod and Reel Newmarket have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Don't you worry about that. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Brian Young is an Auckland angler. He's absolutely mad on all things fishing, freshwater and saltwater. He's recently been fishing in a hydro lake in the Waikato region. It's actually part of Eastern Fish and Game, and we want to talk to him about it now. Brian is live on air with us now. How are you, Brian?
I'm always good. Thanks, Colin.
Now, you've been fishing. Tell us, where did you go last weekend?
So my brother and I got together and we went down to Lake Maraetai.
Okay, I know that. Now, just explain where it is.
It's down in behind Tokoroa is probably the best explanation I could give.
And close to Mangakino.
Yep, that's true as well.
Okay. About, what, 3 hours, 3.5 hours drive from Auckland?
Yeah, and it goes really quickly as well when your brother's talking your ear off as well, so it's good.
Now, tell us about the lake conditions.
When we got there, it was covered with mist, no wind. It was like a mill pond. It was really challenging to start with, I suppose. Okay. As for clarity, it was nice and clear. I'm not really a lake fisherman at all. I've only fished two lakes, actually, so Maraetai and Lake Anifenua.
Yes.
This was a little bit of experience for me to have a look around and see how to do the job.
Okay.
And, it was nice. It's really a different type of fishing from where I'm used to going up rivers and walking over rocks and boulders. So, still enjoyable.
Okay, you're fishing from a drifting boat.
That is correct. We had a little drogue out on the side, which slowed us quite down. And the wind only came up in the afternoon, late afternoon as well, which allows you to have that drift. But if there's no breeze, and you only need a light breeze just to get you across a certain places, flats and all that sort of stuff. And
okay.
It was interesting fishing.
You're casting ahead of the drifting boat?
Yep, that's correct. So basically, my brothers and I have been talking and I've been thinking of getting into this competition fishing.
Yes.
And so we were practicing all the what we have to do for that type of fishing as well. So, you only have a certain angle that you can fish off out the boat. And all those sort of good things. So there's no trawling and all those other bits that you could do before.
Well, we've talked to Chris. He's won international competition, of course. He does have some experience in this.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, he does. He's a very good fisher. Okay, now tell us about the lines. We're using a floating line with a sink tip, a floating line with an intermediate sink, and then we'll talk about the flies that you use, Brian.
So I used to start off with, I went with a DI3, so that's only 3 inches per second sort of line to start off with.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting. That's what I used in the morning when it was quite still. But later on in the afternoon, I changed to a 12-foot sink tip. And I seem to have picked up more fish with the 12-foot sink tip, which was also a different experience for me fishing with these sinking lines and understanding how the technique works and how the flies sit in the water, how many flies you can have on and all that sort of stuff.
Okay, with your sink tip, was it a loop-to-loop connection or was it built into the fly line?
Built into the fly line.
Okay, that's better than a loop-to-loop because you get a hinge effect on a loop-to-loop.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, all built into the fly line. Now, what flies did you use, Brian?
Oh, I believe that's top secret, but I'm willing to share with you guys.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So the top fly, we used an orange blob. To me, this orange blob almost looks like an egg pattern to me.
Okay.
And I was questioning Christopher about this egg pattern and saying, I don't know many egg patterns that travel at that speed. and he said to me, no, well, what happens is it actually irritates the fish and it causes your fly to get really smashed by this big trout. Mm-hmm. And so that was quite interesting. The other thing it did was also attract them to what your point fly would be. And I was only fishing two flies. And so in the morning, I fished the what they call a jaffa, which had like an orange tail to it, or a brightly coloured Yoshi bugger is probably a better explanation.
I know, I'm familiar with the Yoshi bugger. Was it tungsten bead head?
It had a bead head on it, but I don't believe it was that heavy. Just when I bounced it in my hand, it didn't feel like it was anything really significant.
Okay, and what sort of distance did you have between your two flies? 50, 60 centimetres?
I would give it around just over a metre.
Oh, okay, about 2 metres, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And then also from my fly line to my first fly was also probably, that was probably about 1,800.
1.8 metres, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's quite a gap, yeah. Now, what sort of retrieve?
Well, you know, there's lots of different techniques in which you can retrieve it in, different speeds and all that.
Yeah,
I was just giving it three little pulls and letting it sit, and three little pulls and letting it sit. I also got to learn about the hang marker on the fly line, which was quite interesting to me. I pulled it, and I learned by seeing the big swirl in the water after the fly had left the actual the water, which is pretty sad.
They do wake it. It's interesting, isn't it? They follow up and then wait until you hang it there.
Yeah, no, so all those sort of things I had to learn all these different techniques. So. But, yeah, obviously having Christopher as a tutor was quite good.
That's well, excellent. Yeah. Now, tell us about the fish you caught. Were they good size, good condition?
Yeah, it was quite nice to get on the board first as well and have Christopher, you know, sitting working hard to catch the next fish. So that's always a good thing. So my first fish was about a 53-centimetre brown and in really good shape as well. So now that's probably the nice thing with the lake fish. They're really in good, fit, healthy shape. And then I carried on to catch a 52-centimetre and then a 45-centimetre rainbow and a whole lot of other little ones on the way. But Christopher's, as he would do, put himself on the board with a 62-centimetre brown. And
good fish, yeah.
It was lovely and fat as well, so really nice.
Well done. Now, isn't it, I bet there was bugger all other people there.
There was near no one, I'd say. There was another competition, anglers giving it practice time at the end of the day, because they're coming off to fish that lake just before October, so the last weekend of I think it's the 24th or 26th or something like that of September. They'll be in there, so they'll be coming through occasionally to practice now.
Yeah.
But, as for that, that was about it on the lake.
Very good. Now, one thing you've got to do, Brian, is when the season opens, go down the lake a bit further and up the Mangakino stream. It's phenomenal fishing. It can be phenomenal fishing up there. It's something to try when the season's open. It's fantastic. But it's a great area, isn't it? Good boat ramp, everything.
Yeah, it was really nice to go down as well and see what all the boat ramp was about and all that. I believe the lake just up from that, they don't have a concrete boat ramp. So, yeah, that's probably the advantage of the Maraetai boat ramp at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, it's a great spot. Brian, thanks. I just imagine you two in a drifting boat with the drogue out, misty morning, no wind around, and you both of you be talking at the same time.
Yeah, very much so.
Now, Brian, thanks for talking to Hooked on Fly Fishing. It's a great spot. Get back there, and thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Brian. Cheers. See ya.
Bye.
Cheers. Mr. Brian Young, and I can, that Lake Maraetai, it's a fantastic fishery, it really is, and hardly anyone goes there. It's absolutely amazing. Okay, we're just coming up towards the end of the show. I think we have time for the fly fishing tip of the week. The fly fishing tip of the week. Trout mortality can be an issue for catch and release. Land the fish as green as possible and keep them in the water. Where you can, revive the trout in aerated water before releasing them. So, take your time and let them kick before they swim away. Look after your fish. Okay. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, we'll be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.